This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Create Your Dream Business Now Academy, a one-of-a-kind business growth event where Jim will personally teach you how to market and grow your own dream business. You'll learn some of the best marketing and business building advice, all in a pitch-free zone. Jim will reveal step-by-step how to create a million-dollar platform, and you'll learn how to generate a ton of content with ease and how to attract a steady stream of new customers. At Dream Business Academy, you'll network with other successful entrepreneurs and also learn from rock star entrepreneur and Jim's personal mindset coach, Melanie Benson Strick. This not-to-be-missed event is May the 4th through the 6th in beautiful San Diego, California, and will quite literally transform your business. Do not miss it. Get all the details and register today at www.dreambizacademy.com. That's dreambizacademy.com.
Hey, friends, this is James Malinchak, featured on ABC's hit TV show Secret Millionaire and founder of BigMoneySpeaker.com, and you are listening to my good friend Jim Palmer on Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Jim Palmer's Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Jim Palmer is a marketing and business building expert, author, speaker, and an in-demand coach. He's the founder of the Dream Business Academy and Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, the hit weekly web TV show based on Jim's smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out at www.newsletterguru.tv. And now, please welcome the host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Those are great things in anybody's business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show. I'm going to be talking with Harry Campbell. He is one of the top rideshare experts in the country. Let me do a real brief introduction, then we'll bring Harry right on. Harry Campbell is a former Boeing aerospace engineer and the founder of the RideshareGuide.com. It's a blog and podcast for Uber drivers and other workers in the on-demand economy. Harry has quickly established himself as one of the top rideshare industry experts with appearances in hundreds of top media publications, and his site is trafficked by hundreds of thousands of visitors every single month. Harry, welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, man. Thanks for being my guest this week.
Thanks for having me on, Jim. You definitely prop me up, so hopefully I'll live up to the billing.
I know. It's tough when you hear an introduction. It's like, who the hell are they talking about? I get that all the time.
Is that me? Wait, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm intrigued. First of all, we have never met. I'm kind of intrigued on several different levels. And so you are a Boeing aerospace engineer. I'm guessing that's not a minimum wage job, and you quit all that to become a blogger. And I'm like, you know, I don't know too many people making a good living at blogging, but I'm guessing you're one of the ones that are figuring that out.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say that probably 95 or 99% of people who are out there blogging, you know, aren't making a ton of money or even making any money at all. But I was able to kind of figure out a business behind this blog. And I mean, that's really one of the things I've focused on, especially since I left my full-time job a year ago, is turning the blog into a real business and everything that kind of goes along with that.
So how long were you an aerospace engineer?
So I was actually an engineer for 6 years, and I started my current blog, The Rideshare Guy, about 2 years ago, and 1 year ago is when I quit my full-time job to focus on the blog full-time.
Now, it's getting a little personal, but did your mom or dad, if they're still around, did they think you were completely nuts, or anybody else that cares about you think, what are you
I'd
doing?
My family was actually pretty supportive. My mom, surprisingly, and my dad were both pretty supportive. I'd say if anyone, my wife was the one who took the most convincing. She's actually in med school right now, and so I think she was just a little bit more worried that, you know, the family's only breadwinner was kind of moving from a much safer and secure job to something that was really out of, you know, going out on a limb and kind of, you know, the entrepreneurial side of me kind of was going to have to provide for us.
So you left while your wife is still in med school?
Yep, I did.
Wow.
The original plan was actually that I would keep doing, you know, my blog on the side until she got out of school. And then once she was starting work as a resident, then I would be able to leave my job full time and do the blog full time. But it just seemed like there was just too much opportunity. And I think that I wasn't able to really give it my all. And I felt like if I was going to do it, I had to do it.
I mean, that really is a sign of a true entrepreneur. You felt this calling. I'm sure it was like this boiling cauldron of excitement. And, you know, timing is everything, as they say. So, I mean, that's yeah. Really rolling the dice. You know, that's a sign of an entrepreneur. Someone who's willing to, as I say, push the chips in and bet on themselves to win. That's what it's all about, not necessarily taking the safe route out. I'm not sure my wife would be that understanding, but I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's definitely something to be said as far as put it, you know, going all in and pushing the chips in. At the same time, though, I was definitely very careful to secure, you know, do everything I could financially to put us in a good place where I could make that leap and could take that risk. I mean, working as an engineer for 6 years, I mean, I did save up a lot of money. Like, frankly, I'm pretty cheap, so I saved plenty of money. I was always doing different side hustles, though. I mean, I always had a second job, whether it was coaching volleyball or doing tutoring or something like that, just stuff I was passionate about on the side. So I was always making money on top of my day job, and that really allowed me to do things like max out my 401k pretty early, save up an emergency fund. So it wasn't like when I left my job, it was this huge, ginormous risk. I mean, I kind of gave myself a little bit of runway, and so I definitely, you know, I don't know that I would have done, who knows if I would have done it if it was, you know, more dire straits financially.
You know, I'm really intrigued by this whole, the speed at which not only businesses are being created, but entirely new industries
yeah.
are being created. I mean, literally, you know, as people heard the spot at the beginning, my next event's coming up in San Diego in May, and I did one a year ago in May, and we had my daughter and I, she flew out with me, and we had an early morning flight. I think it was on Sunday mornings. I mean, crack of dawn early, first flight out.
Yeah.
So I took the rental car back and just was going to catch a cab back to the hotel, so I didn't have to deal with that. And I must have stood outside there waiting for a cab. They called one from the rental car desk, and then my daughter goes, "Why don't we just here? I'll get us a car." I said, "What? It's probably on the way." She punched a few numbers in her phone. There was a car that pulled up. It was like less than 2 minutes later. It was like a black BMW. The guy said, "Welcome. Hey, want some water?" I mean, it was amazing. And just like that, we were whisked back to the hotel, and that was my first experience with Uber.
Wow, definitely a pretty good one, that's for sure. And it is crazy how an entire industry – I mean, when I first started my site, there were about 100,000 drivers, and Uber was only worth $10 billion at the time, which even those numbers seems like a lot. And today, I mean, there's 400,000 to 500,000 Uber drivers alone, and the company's valued at $62.5 billion. So even someone like me who's kind of hanging out on the fringe and the edge of the industry can still make a pretty good living off of that.
So So the rideshare guy, now you don't, you're not, your company is not a, you're not providing a Lyft service. Are you kind of like the hub? Are you trying to be the hub with your blog and podcast for that industry?
Yeah, so really that's kind of how it all started. I mean, I actually, 2 years ago, while I was still working full-time, I started driving for Lyft, and I started driving for Uber as just one of those side hustles that I was looking into. And it was just something to kind of pass the time I was interested in and heard a lot about and figured there was no better way to check out the industry than to actually become a driver and do it. And pretty quickly, I found that there was just a lot of people asking the same questions. There were a couple of Facebook groups with people, with a few thousand drivers just asking these same questions over and over, and lots of people, I mean, it was such a new thing, right? Everyone wanted to know about it, and of course me, I went to Google and said, all right, there's got to be some experts. Who can I learn from? Who can I figure out how to do this better from? Who can I, you know, I wanted to make more money. I wanted to spend less time and make more money, kind of like all of us want to do, and I couldn't find a single person with any type of authoritative resource, and so I kind of thought to myself, hey, why don't I be that person? Why don't I be that person who produces a ton of content, who produces podcasts and videos and all that good stuff that really walks drivers through everything from getting started and getting signed up, who do you drive for, Uber or Lyft, getting, you know, kind of getting started on the road, to more advanced strategies like how much money you're making, and really started to think about your income and your expenses just like any good business owner would.
That's awesome. So So let me ask you, and just, you know, share whatever you want to share, but
sure.
How is the blog going? I mean, are you getting a lot of subscribers? Is it growing, like, daily by leaps and bounds? Are you really – I know you've done a pretty good job because I did some brief research before our call, and, I mean, it looks like you've got a real nice platform going, and I didn't see anybody else doing it per se, so are you kind of alone out there right now?
Yeah, definitely. And surprisingly, I mean, there's other bloggers now at this point, but I really don't think there's anyone at the same level as me. I'm producing 4 articles a week. So I have a team of writers now, and I have a team of content creators that help me. Personally, I still do 1 article a week, 1 podcast every 2 weeks, and 2 YouTube videos every week. And then in addition, though, we're, as a team, we do 4 articles together every single week. We're working on new content projects. I actually just hired a guy full-time to handle all of our advertising and partnership work. And then I have a team of about 7 or 8 people who do part-time work, everything from SEO and virtual assistants to content creation, writing, articles, YouTube videos, stuff like that. So for me, that's really what I've kind of enjoyed, building out the business side of things. And as far as the actual numbers, so when I left my job, the kind of the number that I'd always had in my head was 100,000 page views a month. That was kind of what I wanted to get to when I felt like I would be able to make a full-time living out of it. And be able to figure out, you know, I didn't know exactly how I was going to make a ton of money or make a full-time living, but I just felt like with that many people and that many hits every single month, I would be able to turn it into a business. And when I left my job, I was almost at that number. I was at about 80 or 90,000 paid views a month. And so that was in March of 2015. And here we are almost a year later. And the site now, last month, came in at just over 500,000 paid views a month. So it's definitely grown in that year since I left my full-time job. And I like to think that it was partly because I'm spending more time on it, is my hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of my coaching clients wants to do something similar, not in that field. And, you know, so many people, they want to go right from start a small community and start charging and develop into a revenue. And I'm like, man, you got to take the long view on this. I think you probably don't even want to charge you at least a year. If you build like this army of fans and followers and then you monetize it, it's much easier to monetize than already – you know, a big herd of people that like and appreciate what you're doing, but to do it right off the bat it's going to be a tremendous drag on your growth. So it sounds like you're doing it the right way.
Definitely. And that's a really good point because, I mean, I think a lot of people get caught up. I mean, you have to really think about what's your core product or what's your core business. When I was first getting started, I'm just trying to build my audience. I'm trying to establish trust with them, right? I'm trying to produce really good content. That's what I need to be. That's what I was and needed to be spending 90% of my time on. I mean, I'm sure that I could have looked for advertisers here and there and maybe gotten a few $100 here and there. But I really, in that first year of working on the blog, I didn't reach out to a single advertiser. If people came to me and said they wanted to give me money and they were a good fit, I was really good at saying yes, but we all know that that doesn't happen a whole lot. And so for me in that first year, I didn't reach out to a single advertiser. I only really took the low-hanging fruits when it came to advertising. And so frankly, I didn't make a lot of money that first year, but once I had that audience, once I'd established that trust, and once I kind of knew the direction that I was headed, I could start finding products that were a good fit for my audience or even creating products of my own that I knew that my audience needed. That's when the monetization opportunities started really opening it up. And, I mean, I even just did a quick look back at my finances the other day, and it was pretty crazy to see that a lot of my ad deals didn't start coming in until right around that time frame, that February, March 2015 time frame. That was when I created my first invoice. So I didn't even invoice anyone for that first year, now that I think about it.
Wow. You know, are there any associations or any other collective groups of all these independent – I don't know, how do they refer to themselves as independent or on-demand drivers or
– Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how they refer to themselves, as independent workers or drivers, because really that's what they are. All of these drivers are paid 1099, so they're independent contractors basically through almost any company in the on-demand space that they work for. And really what that means is that they're micro entrepreneurs or micro business owners basically, because they will have to file a Schedule C. They'll have to worry about taxes and insurance and all of that fun stuff that business owners have to worry about. And I think that when I was getting started, that was actually a challenge. I mean, a lot of people might think that it's easy. Hey, if you're the first one, and I was one of the first ones to really create a blog or a resource for drivers, they're going to find you. But that's not quite how it works out, right? Imagine this brand new industry. You have all these people looking for information, but they don't know where to go, right? So it was really kind of finding those communities that we're establishing. For me, I started with Facebook because there were Facebook groups that were kind of popping up with lots of drivers, and I really started networking and interacting with drivers just one-on-one, really kind of grinding it out, hitting the pavement there. And then I started finding some other online communities of, like on Reddit, for example, a forum popped up called Uber People. And so I really started kind of like pushing my stuff there, and really just more so than anything though, like developing a lot of one-on-one relationships, giving people help, and then, you know, sending them a link to my site or private messaging them a link to my site and saying, hey, this is where I have more information around this topic, or I cover more stuff like this on my site. So it was a lot of, I kind of call it just like grinding it out, a lot of hustling, just kind of trying to interact with as many people as I could right at the beginning, and a lot of those one-on-one interactions, because if you make really good one-on-one connections at the start, that's not scalable forever, but when you're trying to get off the ground and you have nothing to lose, I think it's really the best way to do it.
Absolutely. So how else are you marketing yourself? You got your blog. I know you got your podcast. When did you start that? Mm-hmm.
So I started the blog and the podcast right around the same time. I mean, for me, I was thinking to myself, all right, so we have a bunch of drivers who are sitting in their cars all the time. Probably makes sense to do a podcast too, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of my thinking. So I started those right around the same time, right together, hand in hand, basically. And, I mean, as far as the content I'm pushing out is mainly the blog, podcast, and YouTube has been something that I've started about a year ago, because I really was finding that, I mean, there were some video bloggers that were starting to gain some pretty good traction and some good following on YouTube, and it was something I'd never done before. Honestly, it was something I kind of sucked at and still am not very good at, creating YouTube videos, but it takes practice, just like with writing. I mean, I was a really bad writer in high school and college, and now I've gotten my skills up to the point where it's at least somewhat readable, I like to think, and, you know, it's kind of like that casual conversation, but it's really about the content that I'm producing. As long as good content, whether it's articles or videos, people are still coming back to read more and view more.
Now, how do you grow a business with, I mean, I have a staff of 11 virtual assistants. Was that mm-hmm. hard for you coming out of, kind of the corporate world set? You got assistants and other people under you and stuff. Was that a hard leap for you to make as an entrepreneur?
You know, I don't know that it was a hard leap, but it just took time, right, figuring it out. I mean, for me, one of the really important things for me was, I mean, the first people I started hiring were writers. So for me, I was looking at this like, hey, I was doing three articles a week at first, and that's kind of a grind, to be honest. Three articles a week is a lot when you do that for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, because you also have to do everything on top of that, right? Responding to all the emails, responding to all the comments. And so for me, that was one of the first things I looked to hire for. And I knew that a lot of my articles resonated with drivers was because it came from firsthand experience. It came from, I would go out and drive and then talk about issues that came up, or talk about exactly how much money I was making and showing pay statements and things like that. So I actually started sourcing writers from my audience. I would ask people to guest post. I would ask people to contribute an article just here and there, just to see if they had an interest and see if they were passionate about. And then I would offer them a spot as a writer. And so that's really kind of how I grew my team. The guy that I ended up just hiring full time, who now handles all of my advertising and partnerships, that's exactly how he started. He started with a guest post for me. He started doing more articles. He started handling a couple advertisers on a commission basis. And then I actually hired him full time.
That's exciting. So where do you, in our last 3 or 4 minutes here, where do you see this going? I mean, what's on the horizon, the distant horizon of, say, 12 months from now?
Yeah, that does seem like a long time. I mean, for me, I think it's really, I kind of like to call it being greedy, right? When I first started my site, if you would have told me that I got to 100,000 page views, I would have been psyched. I would have been ecstatic. But once I got there, I was thinking to myself, all right, what's the next step, right? Where can I get to next? And I think that's kind of the attitude and the approach that I have to take, that, you know, it's fun building the business. And, I mean, that's really one of my goals going forward, is to turn this blog into more of a business, get systems in place for the things that we're doing over and over, and really get good at producing this content. I mean, I really want a baseline so that, hey, if we're doing 4 articles a week, let's get really good at that. That should kind of happen on cruise control in our sleep, so that now that we can start testing new things, right? Whether it's videos or new articles or new segments or new contributors or whatever it is. And so for me, it's kind of really just about maintaining the voice of the blog and the voice of the business, but also being able to scale up and reach more and more people.
That's awesome. Let me ask you one more question about the industry per se. Where do you think that's going? Are there going to be more Lyft companies? You think there's going to be a big shootout kind of between Lyft and Uber? Do they serve different markets, or help us understand that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, so the first thing to realize is that Lyft is often mentioned as a competitor to Uber, but they're a pretty distant second. When you look at the metrics like revenue and rides and things like that, I mean, Uber is a $62.5 billion company. Lyft, on the other hand, is $4 or $5 billion, which $4 or $5 billion on its own sounds amazing. It sounds great. But when you compare it to 62.5, it's a pretty small number. So that's kind of the thing to keep in mind. Uber really is the big fish. And there are a whole host, though, of pretty successful competitors. And I think it really just shows you that the potential out there for the market cap is still, you know, at the beginning. I mean, I think a lot of people think of Uber as just a convenient ride here and there, but Uber has basically been able to introduce technological solutions that allow for more efficiencies, and basically the price of their rides have trended downwards and are continuing to trend down. I mean, they were 20 to 30% cheaper than a taxi, then they're 40 to 50, and now they're even 60% cheaper than taxis. And really what the market share that they're going after is that typical commuter who drives to and from work every day, who runs a few errands, right? Those people, if they can get the cost of taking Uber down below the cost of owning and operating a car, you go from, you know, having that occasional one or two times a week user to someone who now uses it 20 to 30 times a week. So you can imagine kind of the potential market cap right there.
Yeah. So Harry, how can people follow you on your blog and learn more about you and stuff like that? So what's a good website for them?
Definitely. Well, so obviously the RideshareGuy.com is my blog, and if you have any questions for me, feel free to shoot me an email, harry@therideshareguy.com. And then for anyone who's kind of interested in learning a little bit more about what it's like to be a driver or even thinking about driving, I do have a video course for drivers that you can find on the Rideshare Guy, or just go straight to MaximumRidesharingProfits.com.
That is awesome. I have what I think is a killer idea for you, but I'm not going to say it over the airways because it's too big of an area. But hang on a second after we finish, and I'll come back with you. But, Harry, thanks
Sounds
so much
good.
For being my guest this week.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with Harry Campbell, the rideshare guy. Remember, Stick Like Glue is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. As always, I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio this time next week. Until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at iTunes and www.getjimpalmer.com. To learn more about Jim's Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program, visit www.dreambizcoaching.com. That's www.dreambizcoaching.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now, go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.